We're up to page. We are up to page Kuf Ayin Hey. Halacha Kuf Pei Hey, the last halacha on the page. Okay, page Kuf Ayin Hey. Rav Meir. Page Kuf.
Guys, we're back.
Page Kuf Ayin Hey, halacha Kuf Pei Hey, Le'olam Lo Yehi Adam Kafui Toiva. Le'olam, a person should never be ungrateful. Ingrateful. How do you say? Ungrateful? How do you say? Should never be ungrateful. I don't know. How do you pronounce this? A person should never be ungrateful. Ungrateful. La'olam lo yeh adam kifui toiva ki. They bring ki mimaharim lipora mimenu. He says over here a principle that a person that does not have hakaras hatoiv to someone else, they very swiftly they punish him mimaharim lipora mimenu. They quickly punish him. I guess that means in heaven. Now he gives an example over here, a biblical source. Novel hayu kafui toiv l'David v'avadav. Novel, we know that Novel cursed David HaMelech. David, Novel was married to Avigail. Okay, David eventually he married Avigail. He married his wife. Avigail Chazazah was one of the most beautiful women in the world. And Novel insulted the people, David's people. They needed, I forgot all the details. Not David's soldiers needed a favor from Novel. What?
They protected
the people from Novel, right? But they needed something from the people, and Novel said, why should I bother?
You're one of them.
Novel, he severely insulted David HaMelech. He called David HaMelech a slave that escaped his master, referring to Shaul. Referring to that David used to carry the weapons of Shaul HaMelech in the battlefield. David was his loyal servant, and now all of a sudden David's the Melech, and Shaul, what happened to Shaul? So Novel severely insulted David. His people went back and they told David what Novel said about him. So David, you know, he was a redhead David. He did not take insult lightly. He picked up his weapons. He went down the hill to kill him.
Didn't he first ask him, what did you say?
What?
He didn't first ask him. Why?
It seems not. It doesn't seem so.
It didn't seem.
Don't ask me. That's the only question you have in Tanakh. That's the only question. But David did not take the insult lightly. So David went down, took his soldiers to kill him, to murder him. Avigail knew what was coming. Avigail knew her husband. She knew exactly what was happening. She really, right away, she figured out that David's on the way to kill her husband. So Avigail stood out on the road. A woman stopped David on the road and said to David, what are you doing? Where are you going? So David said, I'm going to kill your husband.
They all knew each other.
So she said to him, David, you're making a big mistake. If you're going to kill him, you're going to taint your malchus. Because lo yotza tiv'acha bo'olam. The world does not yet know who you are. It's what you're doing. You're still, even though you've been anointed by Shmuel, but you're a small-time king in Chevron. You're not yet on the world stage. And even though technically, according to the letter of the law, you're a melech, and my husband is a moirid b'melech, and you're allowed to kill him, you don't need to have witnesses and a judge, v'chulu, v'chulu. David, I'm giving you good advice. Chochmas noshim bonsa besa. You want to build your beis hamelucha? You want to go build the malchus of Klal Yisrael? Let me give you some good advice. Don't always demand what the law allows you to take. The law allows you to kill my husband, but I'm telling you, it's not a good idea for various reasons. David was a chacham, and he listened to a woman. He knew how to listen to a woman. He listened well, and he said, you're right. David retreated. He went back home and did not lift a finger to Novel.
But a king is not supposed to be Michael on his covenant.
So that's exactly what she said to him. She said to him that you're not really a melech. Even though technically you are a melech, but since lo yotza tivacha, your nature, your fame, has not yet spread to the world, she told me a halachic decision. I mean, I don't know if it's a halacha, but she says to him, is that this that you're allowed to kill is only, malchus demands fame. It's not just to be a melech in the basement, and you go to a mental institution, you know, there are people there that think they're Mashiach. But so he had a couple of followers. He had some followers, but he was not in the. She told him, "You're not in a state in the matzah of where you should take advantage of this halacha and married the malchus is chayiv misa, and you should actually exercise this halacha." And he said to her, "You're right." He went and he listened to her, and he retreated. He withdrew. He retreated. And what happened? 10 days later, Novel just died. Of natural causes. Natural causes, he died. It was a nace. He died, whatever, he died. So David did not have to lift up a finger. And this fellow who was trouble for his malchus, he just died naturally. I always say that was one of the big miracles of how Arafat. One of the greatest miracles of our generation, which I don't think people appreciate, is that Arafat, he went to France, he wasn't feeling well, he had an issue, and he died in a hospital in France.
He didn't die.
What? Life. What? They killed him?
They found 25 poisons in his body.
They did? Yes. No, they didn't. Where did you read that?
How do you know?
I don't know. What autopsy? No, that's Palestinian propaganda. It's lies. I don't think it's true. I don't think it's true. He died of natural causes. He was sick. Listen, if the Mossad killed him, they did a very good job, because it was not at the time when he died. It was a very big miracle in Klal Yisrael. No one blamed the Jews. I mean, there were a few people that blamed, but they were silenced. They were. He got sick. He needed treatment. He went to France. They did whatever they can do for him. They couldn't do too much for him, and he died. Could you imagine had he died in a Jewish hospital in Eretz Yisrael? Can you fathom the what would be going on? Awesome. The riots in the streets? There could have been pogroms. There could have been who knows what would have gone. What would have happened? And here it was mamash a chesed elyon. He left the country on his own long before.
Chesed elyon. You know, this is like bizarre. Our thinking is bizarre. You say chesed elyon, he dies. Meanwhile, the man is responsible for how many hundreds.
Absolutely.
Of so what's the chesed elyon? It was too little, too late.
You say very good. I accept your mussar. I accept your mussar. I accept it.
You.
No.
This is the way we think. I'm questioning how we think.
What you're saying is absolutely true. But the end of his life could have resulted in a lot more, in a lot of trouble for us. Does not take away one iota of the killings and the tsar and the tsaris that he caused Klal Yisrael. But the end of his life was a very great worry for the people living in Eretz Yisrael, that the Palestinians were way out of control. In those days, it was a lot worse than it is today. And you know, the suicide bombings were just happening daily. And with his death, if they would have been able to convince the world, to convince the people that his death was caused through the Jews, there would have been chaos. In this little teeny prat of how he died, not to ignore a mashahu of the wickedness of what happened, everything until that point in time, it could have been catastrophic, that event of him dying. And at least that little element, Hashem did chesed with us, in that He left the country long ago. He was there, no one, far away from Eretz Yisrael, under the control of his people. No Jew came near his hospital bed, and he died. And no one in the world at that time was willing to blame the Jews for his death, so they couldn't do anything to us. And it was relatively quiet and peaceful. What could have been at that moment in time chaos and a bloodbath in the streets was a miracle. I mean, it was. I'm going to talk about it. You're right, but I'm not chas v'shalom taking away from the horrors. You're absolutely correct. Here as well, you have this David HaMelech. David HaMelech would have killed Naval. If he would have killed Naval, it would have been a stain on his malchus forever, just like Bathsheba with Uriah, and just like all the other different problems that he had. This, he dodged a bullet. Because Avigail had the insight, the foresight to stop him on the road. She spoke to him in a way that he was receptive to listening. And it avoided here a major catastrophe for David. It's not to be believed.
He told him that if you kill him and you marry me, that will be the same thing as Uriah and Bathsheba.
If you're going to kill him and marry me, right?
He
proposed to her already on the spot there, right? He proposed. Right? And he ended up marrying her. Okay, so there are many interpretations there. So over here he writes the Olam. So here we go into this. Kuf pehe. La'olam lo yehe adam kuf kifui toiva ki memaharim liparim imenu. So now here we now with that background, let's discuss the story. There's another element about this story. Why was it that indeed it was Ashkacha Pratis, that this man who insulted David died 10 days later? Let's draw a parallel to another man who insulted David. Shimi ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera, when David was running away from Avshalom took over his malchus. David was running away for his life from his own son. And as he's running away, he meets up with his fellow Shimon ben Gera, and he says to David, David, good for you. Good for you. You're running away. Your son wants to kill you. What a curse. You deserve it because of what you did to Shaul, v'chulu, v'chulu. And he cursed him. V'hu kilalani kilala nimretzes. An explicit curse. The people were outraged. How dare this guy curse David? Melech, he's vamish the Melech. He cursed the Melech. David said, don't touch him. It was basically what to say. I guess it percolated. It has to be what Avigail told him many years ago. Right now, I'm on the run. If I'm on the run, I'm running away from my malchus. I'm not the melech anymore. I'm not the melech. It's not a time to exercise the koyach of married be malchus chayav misa. You have to argue that the effect of Avigail was lingering now, even many, many years later, when he had a parallel situation with Shimi ben Gera. You see the koyach of Avigail. It didn't just have an effect on him at that moment. Her advice had a lingering effect on him much, much later in life. That's a chacham. A chacham learns lessons in from the past, and you take it with you your entire life to go into the future. So here as well, he said to his people, listen, we're running. We're on the run. I don't have the status of a king. And therefore, you know what? Don't kill him. Don't take advantage. But here's the question. After David let him live, nothing happened to Shimon ben Gera. Shimon ben Gera lived a long life. Nothing happened to him. When David died, he told his son, Shlomo, you should know that this fellow, Shimon ben Gera, he's trouble. And you should know what to do with him. He's a trouble fellow.
Don't let him die old.
Don't let him die old, right? Okay? Shlomo was the first mafia. Correct. But nevertheless, David told Shlomo, make sure that. But wait a minute. Why didn't Shimi ben Gera just get sick, go to France, die there? Yeah.
With Mordechai.
What?
Wasn't his descendant?
Yes.
Mordechai?
Yes. Correct.
That's why he lived.
All right. That's Jewish. That's after the fact. I hear what you're saying. After the fact. If he would have killed him, he would never. Mordechai, Agag also in Ochanan. But it was a mistake. Agag should have been killed on the spot. right? No one is denying. Who came from Agag? Haman. If Shaul would not have killed Agag, or would have killed Agag, we wouldn't have Purim today. What would Judaism be without Purim? Right? What would Judaism be without Purim? So, is that a defense? Is that a defense for Shaul? It's not a defense. Shaul still lost the Malchus because of that mistake, and other mistakes as well. That was part of the problem. So, it doesn't matter. B'shas Maisa, you're held accountable for your deeds. We don't care what benefit comes out of the future. That's Allah. That's a general concept. Over here, Shimi ben Gera, he cursed David a kol nimnetzes. So David should expect, just like when I had the story years ago, I was on the run. I was just starting out. I wasn't a full-fledged melech. I only was a melech in Chevroin. And lo yaza tevacha v'olam. And Avigail told me, don't kill Naval. It's not going to be good to kill Naval. So I didn't kill him. So Hashem rewarded me. How did Hashem reward me? I didn't lift a finger. 10 days later, he just got sick and died. So Hashem should do the same thing again for me.
Rabbi?
Yeah?
Oh.
That's exactly what he comes to say over here. Exactly the point. But look, before we get it, let's appreciate the question. When it comes to Shimi ben Gera, same exact thing. David should expect, listen, I did a chesed. I did the right thing. I controlled myself. I did not kill him because it's not the right time to kill him. I'm on the run. It would be a stain on my malchus if I would take advantage of someone, I would respond to someone's insult by killing them when now I'm on the run. So I controlled myself. I exercised self-restraint. So Hashem, you should reward me. In 10 days from now, Shimon Gera should drop dead on his own. And guess what? It didn't happen. And you should know this is the Nisoyon in life. Because in life, many times you have an incident where you exercise, you do something very noble, very, very great, and you mamish see how Hashem rewards you. You see it takes time, but you see. And then you do the same thing again, ve'ein kol ve'ein oineh, and there's no response. You don't sense any reward for repeating or doing something very similar at another point in your life. And that's the challenge. Why, when I did this act of kindness, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do I see the Yad Hashem, the Schar, and here I don't? That's part of the very big nisyonis of life. David had that nisoyim. David had a novel he didn't touch, self-restraint. Hashem rewarded him. He was eliminated without lifting a finger. Shimon Gera, who died first? David died first. David never saw Shimon Gera suffer his whole life. Shimon Gera had a wonderful life. My high. So did David know what the Sefer Chassidim says? He did. But let's make believe for the sake of simplicity. In our minds, David did not. David had a very great Nisayim. That's all part of Emunah. Sometimes you do see things, sometimes you do not see things. You do exactly the same thing. But what is Taka the reason? There's always a reason. We're usually not privy to know the reason for Hashem's ways. But here we got lucky. Because here the Sefer Chassidim was Megale, the reason why indeed David, Shimon, Gera did not die, whereas Naval died. And that's because Shimon ben Gera, David, had an obligation to be Makir Toiv to David. David did Chesed with Naval. David did Chesed with Naval. And therefore Naval, the Avla of cursing David, was that much greater to a person to whom you owe a debt of gratitude, and instead of showing gratitude, you go and you insult him, you harm him, you curse him, that Hashem does not take lightly. Shimon Gera was stam a guy. David has nothing to do with him. He doesn't owe him anything. Shimon Gera didn't owe David anything. Adrava, David mentioned that Shimon Gera was the Rebbe of Shlomo.
Is he only Sanhedrin?
Was the head of Sanhedrin? I don't remember exactly, but Shimon Gera did not owe David anything. So now that he cursed, he made a mistake. He cursed David, and David exercised self-restraint. So no, Hashem will decide when Shimon Gera should die. But there's no acceleration of his death because he was not guilty of not showing gratitude to a person to who he owes a debt of gratitude. That's his answer.
Excuse me.
It's better be good.
In the city is not Rashi Tevot of nasty words that Shimi told Nimreset.
Nimretzas.
Rashi Tevot of something.
It's a Gemara. An explicit. It's an explicit.
Moavi. Roseya.
How do you know all this? Gemara. So Gemara, where is this Gemara? This is Gemara in Sach to Tumura, right? Daf Yomi, not long ago. Yeah. Very good.
Hakaras HaTov. God picks his spots for the people who do good and do bad. You can't ask. That's Pshat in the Pasuk. It might come in this generation, it might come the next.
You don't know what's going to happen.
He has a plan.
But here it was accelerated. Here it happened 10 days later, novel, and here it never happened to him. Why? So here we what's the plan exactly? What is the, we don't know what the plan is. In this particular instance, the Sefer Chassidim, I don't know how he knew it, but he's telling us, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you Hashem's plan. And he says over here something shocking. He says, one more time, Kubek Heli, Olam lo yadam kafu toiva, ki mimarim liporam imenu shavi, novel, ha yo kafu toiva ledavid, vavodav. Novel was a kafui toiva. How is he a kafui toiva? Sheshoimim tzainoi v'choymo hayalayem. David and David's servants would protect Novel. They did him a favor. They were bandits. They were polishtim. Who knows what was going on over there? And David's soldiers protected the assets of Novel. Shenemar sapasik choymo hoyu aleinu gam laila gam yomam. David's people were a wall. They protected us. They were a wall for us. The shepherds, they protected the shepherds. They were guardians. So because David did a chesed to Novel, when Novel cursed David, it makes the avla that much greater. You did roha tachas toiva. You mishalim roha tachas toiva. No good deed goes unpunished.
He didn't curse. David Amelech asked to give some food for the soldier.
And he said, no.
He told that I am not so much rich.
To give a slave.
I
tell you back, I misspoke. You corrected me. Very good. It's not, he didn't curse him. He insulted him.
Yeah.
He didn't curse him. Shimon Gera did worse. Who kilalani kilala nimnetzes? An explicit curse. Novel didn't curse David, chas shalom. He insulted him.
Kamson.
He insulted him. He insulted, I should go give this slave. David called him a slave. I should give a slave some food. It's an insult. Okay, it's a pretty big insult to call David HaMelech a slave. Therefore, when Novel insulted David, and David exercised restraint by not killing him, Hashem said, you know what, I'll take care of Novel for you. Meis laseres hayomim. But Vishimi, the counterpart, the similar Maisa, where another fellow did something very similar, did even worse in fact, he cursed David, who killani kolim netzes, he cursed him, mamish, worse than just insulting David, he cursed him, loimes. When David exercised restraint in not killing him, what he really should have done, guess what? Hashem did not come to David's rescue and accelerate this fellow's death. He didn't die 10 days later. David must be one. What's going on over here? This guy, I control myself. Hashem took care of my problems. This guy, I control myself. Hashem did not take care of my problems. And this guy, in fact, he did a lot worse. He cursed me. The other one didn't curse me. The answer is, Elashimi, Bavur, Shoyakarv Lashol. Shimi did not owe David anything. Shimi was a relative to Shol. Lo hayu kafu toiva. I don't know you anything, David. Avol David va'anashav hayu kroivim le'novol va'asuloi toiva. But David and David's servants were relatives. They had some affiliation with Novel, and they did for Novel chesed va'asuloi toiva ukifui toiva haya. And Novel was a kafu toiva. That is why Hashem did not take this situation lightly. Hashem accelerated the punishment. Lefichach mi'aruli para mimenu. Unbelievable story, unbelievable insight into Tanakh. Okay, where do you get to something like this? You send a chassid to go and analyze two very different stories, which are very similar, and to take note of the results of where Hashem intervened, where Hashem did not intervene. And that itself is a very powerful lesson in life, that sometimes you see the Yad Hashem, sometimes you do not. And here we have the Sefer Chassidim filling in the gaps, telling us what's going on in Shemayim, and he's revealing to us, you know why? Because Novel was a kifui toiva. It was Meshalem Roho Tachas Toiva. Shaul, I don't owe you nothing. I don't owe you anything. I'm a nasty person, so I'm a nasty person. Doesn't mean I have to die tomorrow because I'm a nasty person. Whatever it is, it is. An incredible Musa Haskel. Uchsivit says in the pasuk, another proof to support this. Meshiv Roho Tachas Toiva. A person who gives, who pays back evil in place of good, loy sonish ro'o mi beso, it's a harsh curse. It will not depart. Evil mi beso. V'loma loy sonish ro'o mi beso, mida k'neged mida. It's mida k'neged midim, anshe besoi oyevim ish bal habayis. It's mida k'neged, if the people of his home, they hate the ish bal habayis, if they hate the balabais, kiddush says in the pasuk, oive ish anshe besoy, the members of the household, if they hate the balabais, the one in charge, oisoy shegom alohem toiva, how could the people who live in the home hate the balabais? He pays the rent. What kind of kafu toiva is that to not have respect for the person who puts food in your mouth? Oisoy shegom alohem toiva, v'chnisam lebeso, Yishalmu loy ra, that the pasuk says loy samish ksev biyud, and then it goes on to explain in more details. So yishalmu loy ra. Period. So let's go back to the pasuk. Let's go back and read the pasuk a few lines up above again. Neshiv ra tachas toiva loy samish ra mi beisoy. So he explains v'lama loy samish ra mi beisoy. Midik neged mida. It's because. These quoting another pasuk in the Chsiv, like it says in the pasuk, this is the pasuk in Micha. We have not gotten there yet. We're learning this. Im anshe beisoy oivim ish. If the people of the home they hate the ish bal habayis, kidachsev oive ish anshe beisoy oisoy shagom alohem toiva v'chizal beisoy yisham loyra. The pasuk includes. Let me actually read the pasuk inside. To clarify what it means.
Mean guest or the...
Whether it's, it doesn't matter. Whether it's a guest, whether it's your own children, whether they're boarders. Someone that does you a toiva, you don't bite the hand that feeds you. Klal Yisrael had an obligation to have respect for the Egyptians, even though they tortured us. Okay, Mr. Plani, you're really going to explode on this one. The Egyptians, they committed genocide. Four-fifths of the Jewish people did not survive. Four-fifths. And those that did survive were damaged permanently, psychologically damaged. They were abused. They were tortured. And yet Hashem says, "Lo tisaev mitzri, don't detest the Egyptians. Ki ger hoyisa biyartza. They fed you. They put food in your mouth. How do you explain that? Okay, so it's a complicated world. It's a complicated world. Zion. Zayin Vav. The pasuk says, "Kivein." This pasuk is describing a whole series of situations of kifui toiva. Kivein menabel of a child is menabel. He speaks with disrespect to his father. Bas, a daughter, kama vima, she rises up against her mother. Kala bachamoisa. A daughter-in-law, she rises up against her mother-in-law, and here the pasuk concludes. This is the context. Oive ish anshe besoy, the people of your own home, the members of your own home, they hate you. Okay, so we have over here four examples in the pasuk of kifui toiva. People who live in your own home, for whom you pay rent, for whom you support, they hate you. You walk into the room, they curse you. How dare you? Who's paying your tuition? Who's paying your rent? Who gave you food? Who put clothing on your back? Yet it says over here, unfortunately, this was the situation that Michal was addressing. Four examples. And the end of the pasuk is among the series. Oive ish anshe beso. The enemies of man are the people who live in his own home, who he supports. With friends like this, you don't need enemies. When your own children, so that's what he quotes over here, this idea, Those people who explain the positive people that you're going to Taiva, so that you bring into your own home, they repay your kindness with evil by hating you and cursing you and saying nasty things behind your back. Period. Now, it goes back to the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk was in Mishlei Yitzayin Yud Gimel, a few lines above, where he said there, Meshev ro'o tachas Taiva, loisomish ro'o mibeso. So now he says, loisomish ksiv biyud. It says here the word samish with the yud. The yud is not necessary. It's only for a vowel. You can write it without the word yud. Why? To make a drasha. Ki'ilu omar al novel shemes li yud yomim. The pasuk here in Mishlei is coming to allude Shlomo HaMelech. He wrote Sefer Mishlei. So Shlomo HaMelech in his mind is percolating his whole life. And not just his life, the life of his father. Shlomo was loyal to his father, Dov. He relives his life every single moment. And when Shlomo HaMelech wrote this pasuk, he was really, according to the Sefer Chassidim, he was writing about his father's life. There's a hidden code, every pasuk, Ayin Panim L'Torah. He's writing about his father's life. His father had a story with Novel. His father was about, needed a favor from Novel, needed some food. And Novel insulted David by saying, David's a slave. I'm not giving him any food. And Novel, the chutzpah was Meshalim Ra Tachasav because Novel... No, David protected. David did chesed with Novel. So David was entitled to kill him. He did not. He held back because of Abigail. Hashem intervened. Because David, you held back, I'll take care of your enemy. He died 10 days later. The whole story is here alluded to in this pasuk, and that's why Shlomo added the letter Yud into a word that did not need the word Yud to allude that Ten days after this event, Novel died. He died of natural cause, and no one can blame David for his death. Al Novel Shemes Liyud Yamin. The year, that's one example. You know, by the way, this didn't always work for people. You know, there's a famous one with Nassim Adler, of the Chassam Sofer. There's a famous one with the Chassam Sofer's Rebbe was Rav Nassim Adler. He was a very, the Chassam Sofer worshipped Rav Nassim Adler. Rav Nassim Adler was out of the box. He was a very, very different type of person. In today's society, he would be, I don't know, he was just very different. So the story goes that the Chassam Sofer was learning in his attic, they were learning in his house, and there were some boys downstairs that were making noise. They were making noise down, and they were disturbing the learning of the Chassam Sofer with Rav Nassim Adler. So Rav Nassim Adler told his Talmud, go downstairs and tell the boys to be quiet. They're disturbing us. He went downstairs. They didn't listen. They ignored the Chassam Sofer. It happened a second time. He went down a second time. Nothing happened. He went down a third time. The Chassam Sofer comes up with a bloody red eye. They beat him up. Don't you dare tell us to be quiet. We'll do what we want. And they physically assaulted the Chassam Sofer. He comes up to Rav Nassim Adler. He sees what happened. So Rav Nassim Adler takes out a shofar from his drawer. He takes out a shofar. He blows the shofar. And he says something. He says something. I don't know what he said. That's exactly what he said. A day later, these boys were killed in a very brutal, gruesome way. What? Okay, this story. Interesting. This story is the article recently published a biography on the Chassam Sofer. It's a small biography. There have been many biographies been published on the Chassam Sofer. He's such a large and alive person. So the person who wrote, and he wrote here in the Hagdama, that I'm not putting in this biography. That's what he writes in the Hagdama. Any Baba Mises. He says, the amount of stories that we can write can fill up a library. I've only putting in this book things that have been validated and been researched and are as good as it gets. Every story here that you're going to read is not... Go, he tells you all the books that he read. There's like an infinite number of biographies. So if he writes the story in the book, I take it a little more seriously than I would take other type of stories. So what happened? The reason why the story is really authentic is because of what happened next. And that is a fact. is that these boys that were making noise the next day, or very shortly after, they were killed in some crazy accident, in some horrific event, and people knew that Rav Nosson Adler, what happened the day before, they beat up the Chassam Sofer, and Rav Nosson Adler took out a Sofer, and he blew the Sofer, and he said something. They basically had a campaign to drive out Rav Nosson Adler out of town. To drive him out of town, to get rid of him, to cleanse the city from Rav Nosson Adler, and they did. They did. He had to leave. He had to leave. It was a very ugly thing. Who is this guy? What is going on over there? And the community got up and they literally threw him out. They threw him out. They ran him out of town because of the story. So, now, that story, interesting, he didn't do anything. He blew a shofar. Today, in a court of law, you blow a shofar? Who cares, right? In those days, and that's interesting, the Chassam Sofer, they took it very seriously. If the Rav Nosson Adler blew a shofar and he said something, that means you killed him. You killed him. He didn't touch him. He didn't. No one accused the Chassam Sofer of laying a finger on him, but somehow they directly attributed this horrific event to what happened to him to his curse. Interesting type of story. No one blamed David. David was silent. When Nabal died a few days later, 10 days later, David didn't say a word. He didn't take out a shofar. He didn't say a word. Avigail said to David, "David, go take a cold shower. Calm down. Calm down. Take a cold shower. Don't. And David listened to her. Quiet. Didn't say a word. Didn't take out a shofar. Didn't do anything. Nabal died. No one blamed David. They didn't come to drive David out of town and attribute Nabal's death. He died. His time came. He died. Very interesting. Okay? Because David was completely silent.
Did he win for the Nechamat Avelim?
He married her. He did better than that.
No, before.
He did better than that. He wants to know if he went for Nechamat Avelim. He went, who is in Shiva? The Almana. He went to the Almana. Avigal was a mourner, so he went to her. What can I do to be Menachem you? I'll marry you. You'll be the queen. You'll be the queen. He did the best thing. He certainly went to
the
Menachem
Avelim. I don't know.
Okay, it's interesting. Let's finish up over here this paragraph, then we'll stop. Loisam Lenli King, he winds down. Viyirmiya, likewise, Bikesh al Kifui Toiva Elu. He also was Mavakesh on Kifui Toiva Elu. These people who do not show gratitude, an incredible curse. Yirmiya was personally very worked up about these type of people who do not show gratitude. Sheloi le'erech apayim. Hashem should not be patient. Hashem should accelerate their punishment. Lo'isam shespalu aleim toiva ve'hem yishim lo'i ro'ah tachas toiva. To those people that Yirmiya, we learned this there. Yirmiya, he was mispalu. He writes there how he was shocked. Yirmiya was, it's very fascinating. We learned this, how shocked he was when he was discovered that it was an assassination plot out against him. Someone filled him, Hashem filled him in, you know, don't drink that cup of wine, it's poisoned. They poisoned his food and beverage. Don't, if you drink it, you're going to die, Hashem told him. And then he investigated, who poisoned the cup? You poisoned the cup? You? Do you know that when you had a tzara, I fasted for you? I davened for you? Do you know how much effort I put into caring for you, and that's what you do to me? You go, you poison my goblet? The psukim there, they mention the shock that Yirmi experienced when people that he cared for betrayed him by trying to assassinate him because they didn't like what he said. This prophecy wasn't as pleasing as they liked. L'oitzan shespalu aleim toiva v'heim yishim lo'irua tachas toiva v'yim toiva alama b'kesh nekama. He less dina ba'ara. How could he go? How could he go and he be mispal with seek out in the coma? It's revenge, isn't there? A prohibition loisika and veloisitar. He less dina ba'ara. There's no one has a right in this world to exact revenge. Ki hoyu chafetzim ba'alila below yidiyasai l'tavsai the ins l'tavsai. They desired ba'alila with a surreptitious plan.
below Yidiyasa Litovsai, there was they tried secretly to attack him, to kill him, to seize him, to take hold of him, to kill him. Shenemar Ula Yifute Venuchlo Loy Vahare Lo Yuchali Shamehem Umigarsh Maso Minachlas Mizainosav Mikokoch. So the answer he's giving over here, one more time over here, is the reason why he was allowed in this case to take revenge and be mispalel that Hashem should not show compassion was because they were actively trying to kill him. So when a person is not trying, a person does you an avla. Okay, it's over. And there's reasonable grounds to assume that it's not going to happen again, not to you, or not to someone else. Then you have no right to take revenge. But when it's self-defense, when there's a person out there who's a danger to you and to society, then you have an obligation to take him. So that's exactly what he says over here. We're talking about lam nami kishnu kama ki les din ba'ara. The answer is, it wasn't over. They tried to poison me once. They're trying to kill me a second time. Hashem was megala to me not to drink the wine because it's poisoned. What, you think that's the end? They're going to try to kill me tomorrow. Ki hoyu chafetzim ba'alila b'lo yidiyasa l'tafsai. They're still trying to kill me, to catch me when I'm not on guard, and to take hold of me, Shenemar. Ulai, I'm concerned. Yifuteh, I will be seduced. I'll be deceived. Vinuchlo loyan, they will succeed in killing me. Harei lo yuchali shamehem. I can't every single moment guard myself from these people. I have no choice in this instance but to pray to Hashem that they should, that their life should come to an end immediately. They're going to kill me. They're going to drive me out. They're going to take me from this world, my nachla in this world, and they're going to steal my assets. And therefore, it is within my legal rights to take revenge against the person who is a danger to myself and a danger to society. Very, very fascinating. Okay, so this concludes the section over here of the Inyan of being kofui toiva. We learn here incredibly yisoy that there's an acceleration. There's an acceleration of mida keneged mida. We always mention the Ramban. The Ramban says the great advantage of living in Eretz Yisrael, besides all of the other milos, of it's the Holy Land, it was Zahav Eretz HaKitoiva, this Kedusha V'Tahara, is that in Eretz Yisrael, the mida keneged mida of Hashem operates at an accelerated pace. In Chutz Li'aretz, it's slow motion. And because it's slow motion, it's much, much more difficult to connect the dots. It could take 50 years, 50 years later, something happens to a person, you don't remember. You don't remember that, you know, the incredible, awesome Yad Hashem, what happened 50 years later, because I did something 50 years ago, whether it was good or whether it was bad. You forget, 50 years, a very long period of time. Hashem is emes. Hashem keeps cheshbon. Hashem brings about, controls the world. But, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't take 50 years. It'll take 5 years. And 5 years, your memory is fresh. And then you mamash see the Yad Hashem. And when you see on a daily basis the Yad Hashem, the Midah Keneged Midah, that changes your whole attitude, your whole sense of Yirah Shamayim. It's an incredible insight from the Ramban. This is one of the major milos of making aliyah, of living in Eretz Yisrael, besides all the other things. In Eretz Yisrael, there is an accelerated degree of midah, keneged midah, and that subconsciously and consciously forces a person to confront the reality that there's a ribbono shel olam, and for everything that a person does, there is din v'cheshbon. If you live in Chutz Li'aretz, there is a slower pace, and a person can easily forget. You could forget and not connect the dots, and you don't have that same degree of Yirah Shamayim. It's fascinating that here, when it comes to the meaning of Kafri Toiva, Kafiyas Toiva, Yirmiya, and David, two Nevi'im teach us, even in Chutz Li'aretz, the inyan of being a Kafri Toiva has an accelerated Mida keneged mida. Even though we may be on a slow track in Chutz Li'aretz, but with regard to Kafui Toiva, watch out. That is something where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an accelerated path. Okay, Rabbi Sai, we'll take a short break.